I've got some important news, particularly for you, podcast listeners, particularly for the people that listen to it as soon as it pops up on the podcatching app of your choice, because our Black Friday sale is now on. Have we got free gifts? Oh yes, we've got free gifts. They're tiered, and you can choose what the gifts are. And again, it's cumulative. So if you, say, spent $100 today, you can pick something from the $100 free gift tier. But if you come back next week and spend another $100, you can choose something from the $200 tier. All sorts of free gifts there. Some amazing stuff. So don't forget that it's cumulative. The other thing is that every single purchase, no matter the value, will get an incredible download bundle with some of the best tricks that have been taught on our amazing Vanishing Ink Masterclass series. So if you're not a member of Masterclass, you can have a sort of taster to see what you're missing out on, which is quite marvellous. But I've buried the lead, because we're doing a new way for you to save money this year. It's buy three, get one free. Buy three, get one free. It applies to everything that Vanishing Ink produces. Accessories, playing cards, magic tricks, magic books, magic downloads. If you see a little Vanishing Ink exclusive sign, you will also, below that, see this is part of buy three, get one free. So what happens is you pick three items, pop them in your cart, and think, ah, I can get one for free. Go back, pick another one, and the lowest priced item will automatically be marked as zero in your cart. And yes, you can do multiples of that. If you want 8, if you want 12, if you want 16, if you get 16 things, you will get 4 things for free. It's an incredible offer. We have never done something like this, and we hope you enjoy taking advantage of it. I did mention the Masterclass free download offer, didn't I? Talking of Masterclass, guess who is your lecturer for December? It's Craig Petty. That sounds like a segue to start part one of our podcast with Craig Petty, who is amazingly honest and open. And I hope you enjoy listening to it. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Insider, brought to you, as ever, by Vanishing Ink. My guest today needs no introduction, so I'm not even going to give him one. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Craig Petty. Craig, how are you this morning?
Hey! I can't believe I've finally made it onto the Vanishing Ink podcast. Honestly, I could die happy tomorrow knowing that my greatest achievement has finally been realised. This is the moment, right now.
I've peaked. I'm glad to have made that happen for you.
From this point, it's all downhill. How's it going? You all right?
Good. Thank you very much for asking. Thank you for being English, so I can do this at a sensible time rather than having to wait up late for one of those pesky Americans.
I feel you.
What's your magic origin story? You've got 23 seconds.
Red coat. Hated magic. Didn't enjoy doing it at all, but loved performing. Went to Butlins. I was a red coat at Butlins. Met a magician who was touring there, and he was back every week, and I fell in love. Not with the magician, with magic, and spent all of the money that I made, which was very little because I was a red coat, buying crap from the Skegness markets and the magic shop in Skegness, and ended up just becoming obsessed with it, and then blagged my way into Camp America, working at a summer camp in America under Brad Henderson. Didn't have a clue what I was doing. Brad realized literally within 5 seconds of me walking through the door that I didn't have a clue what I was doing. There were like 5 magic counselors, including me and him, and we were meeting for the first time before the camp started, and everyone was like, do a trick, do a trick, do a trick. And the only trick I knew was dynamic coins. That was the only, I had that. And they were like, can you do a card trick? And I was like, no, not really. And so he just realized he had a mistake on his hands, but he didn't know what to do with me, and he couldn't send me away. Because I was there for the summer, so he made the best of a bad situation. Nobody wanted to do coin magic, so he literally locked me for 2 weeks in a room with expert coin magic, super magic by Paul Harris, Bobo's Modern Coin Magic, and he said, you've got 2 weeks, you're doing all of the coin classes. And it was like literally a summer of, I was learning it along with the kids, I didn't have a clue, and I blagged my way through it. Brad became a friend. I still apologize every time I see him to this day for messing him around and screwing him over, which I absolutely did. But that's why I'm known as a coin guy, because most people, they start learning card magic because it's instant gratification. You can learn a self-working card.
It's easier. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. But with me, all I ever learned was coin magic for the first 6 months of my life. I didn't even touch a pack. I wasn't even allowed to touch a pack of cards. So I was like really great at all of the David Roth routines, and I could do like all of his stuff, but I didn't even know how to hold a deck of cards properly. So it was a very interesting way into magic. And then I came back and went through uni and worked in a magic shop demming magic, and you know, the rest is history. So that's kind of the short abridged version.
Oh, good. Thank you, Brad, and your marvelous beard for giving us Craig Petty. We met very briefly at the session last year, well, in the summer, and you were charming and kind and polite. So where does this ranty bad boy of magic persona come from? How deliberate was that?
Oh, my God. So that's a really good question. I mean, I made a lot of mistakes when I was on the Wizard Product Review with David Penn. And I think David would agree with me here. When I was on the Wizard Product Review, we used to do stuff just to piss people off. Like, we used to do stupid stuff every single week because we were trying to get ratings, and we were trying to, because I wanted to be famous. I didn't know any better back then. I wanted to be famous in magic. So I did stupid stuff that I look back and I kind of regret. So we did skits like, I remember, doing a skit with David Penn on the Wizard Product Review where I pretended to be Dan Harlan and I was running out of World Magic Shop with a cash register with my pants around my ankles and stuff, and I dressed as in an Elvis suit and pretended I was Devon Knight and just stuff like this, and it was just getting more and more out of control, and it got to a point where I had to leave the community for a variety of different reasons, and I got to a point where I was almost public enemy number one. Nobody
including
liked me.
Death threats.
There was tons of death threats, and there was a lot of things that happened back to back. There was the there was the team building thing, there was the Magic Circle thing, there was me telling the president of the Magic Circle where to go. There was what else was there? There was
Red,
obviously. There was Wayne Dobson and Jeff McBride. That was a big thing back then, and all of that, all of that. I just made mistake on mistake on mistake, and I had to step back. And I left the community completely and just focused on building a business. And that was successful and did great. And then just before the pandemic, I came back into the community. And I went to Blackpool for the first time in like 6 or 7 years. Of course, I got invited to do the bear pit and I said yes. And then COVID hit and my son was really getting into magic. He'd always been into magic, but he was really getting into magic. And he was getting frustrated because he had no one to show it to because we were stuck in the house together. So I said to him, Rye, why don't we do a review show together? I used to do a review show with this guy called David. We'll do a review show together. And that's when Magic TV started. It was literally just to give Ryland something to do because he was just bored at home and he just hated it. So that's where the review show came from. And off the back of that, Magic TV really took off, and I was like, right, okay, well, I can do a video on this, and I can do a video on that, and I'll do interviews with this people because everyone's stuck at home, so I can reach out to them on Zoom, and I can do interviews with them. And then I was like, well, I'm going to do rants as well, because back in the day when I was on the Wizard Product Review, that's what people liked. They liked me being angry and shouty. And I had lots of things in the community that I thought and I perceived weren't right. And I thought the best way to do it is to do a rant. And I'll be honest with you, I don't do the rants anymore. I did very, very rarely. I still have, they disappeared for a while. I'll be honest, I'll tell you exactly why they disappeared. And I've never said this anywhere, but I'll tell you why they disappeared. But I started doing the rants and they were the most popular videos. And I was like, oh, people love this. And I was getting more and more over the top with it. And it got to a point where I was trying to find stuff to argue about and shout about. And half of the rants that I filmed, I wasn't even angry about it. But I was having to fake it. And I was thinking, oh, I'm going to have to call this a day. And at the same time, I had so many messages from kids and parents who watched the channel, and they were like, oh, I love your reviews, I love Ryland's thing. And I'm like, this is just completely the opposite. I've got a video that goes up on a Wednesday with me sitting next to a seven-year-old doing reviews on magic tricks, and he's super cute. And I've got a video of I've got a video on a Friday where I'm screaming and effing and blinding, and you know, like, and I'm like, this isn't right. And then at the same time, Ryland got really immersed into Britain's Got Talent. And he was like going onto Britain's Got Talent, and I kind of thought to myself, okay, so these rant videos could really be taken out of context, because you know what the press are like. I knew he was going to do well on BGT. They're always looking for a story. All it takes is for them to find one of my rant videos, cut a 10-second segment out of it, and without any context at all, and say, this is Ryland, the super cute magician on Britain's Got Talent. This is his dad. Tattoo, shaved head, effing and blinding. And when I kind of put all of that together, I was like, okay, I need to stop this. So we deleted all of the rants off YouTube, and I stopped doing them. And that was the end of it. And then when Ryland finished BGT, and that whole journey ended, there was still stuff I wanted to talk about, but I wanted to do it in a different way. So we brought the rants back, but in a different way. They're not me screaming and shouting and effing and blinding now. They're not me just sitting there for 20 minutes swearing at a computer screen. Instead, it's my perspective on something. It's kind of more of an unpopular opinion or an opinion. Like, so recently I did one on Mr. Blonde and the Peak device and everything, you know, my opinion on stuff like that, or exposure in magic or whatever it may be. So that's a very long-winded way to explain what happened. But basically, I want the channel to be something that's accessible by everybody. By kids, by adults, by everyone. And I don't want to shy away from my opinion, because I think the only way that the magic community improves is by tackling this stuff head on. And, you know, so I like to give my opinion on things. I think that's a big part of the channel, but I want to do it in the right way.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a bit, the magic community is a bit emperor's new clothes sometimes with certain releases. So, and I do think it needs, I do think there's room for somebody to challenge the status quo, but I understand why you've toned it down. What did drag you back in after your wilderness years? You said you went to Blackpool, but what changed your mind? What had happened that thought?
There were two things. The first thing is you have to understand the main reason I left. Yes, I was getting death threats and there was this and that and the other, and I felt like I wasn't welcome in the magic community anymore. But that wasn't the catalyst. That wasn't the main reason. The main reason was I needed to actually start making money, because my wife, and I'll be completely honest with you, my wife had a very good job. She was a deputy head of a primary school. So she was very, 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 very successful, and she made a lot of money, more than enough money for the both of us. And I spent all of my time filming content for World Magic Shop and messing around and so on and so forth. And I didn't focus on my business as a performer.
Right.
So I was constantly going out and, well, first of all, I was getting gigs, but very few and far between. And the ones I was getting really frustrated. Why am I going out and getting £100 for a gig when I know there's people out there going and getting £7,000, £8,000, £9,000 a gig? Why is that? And it was because I wasn't putting any effort onto the business. You know, it's that old joke, isn't it? What's the difference between a magician and a savings bond? Well, eventually a savings bond will mature and make money. You know, it's that whole thing. So I was just basically kept by my wife. And then at around about the same time, I was considering leaving the community, and I was like, oh, I don't want to though, and blah 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 blah. My wife came home and she said, I've got good news and bad news. And I was like, oh, okay, right. Well, what's the good news? And she went, I'm pregnant. And I'm like, that's amazing. We've been trying for a while. I was like, that's awesome. You know, she's pregnant with who would eventually become Ryland. And I was like, that's great. And she said, yeah, now here's the bad news. You need to sort yourself out, because I'm not going to go back to school full time. I need to be a mom. I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And you either make magic work and you make it pay, or you find something that will, but the days of this are over. And everybody,
that's
at some
good incentive.
Yeah. Well, everybody in their life has this light bulb moment, that moment where almost like a switch is flipped in your head. And that's what I had at that point. And I realized that if I wanted to care for my family and my unborn child, who would eventually become children, if I wanted to do that, I couldn't sit around spending 3 days filming stuff for World Magic Shop anymore. I knew I needed to focus on my business. And that's what I did. So I set up, Slightly Unusual, then Nonstop Kids, and focused on the business. And, you know, they became very, very successful. And, you know, everybody knows what I do now in terms of those businesses. You know, I'm sitting in an office with like 10 members of staff. Things are going really well. So the reason I'm telling you this is because the first thing that happened is I was getting a little bit bored in the office. And what I mean by that is, you know as well as me, that if you want to be successful in business, you can either work on the business or in the business. And if you work in the business, you've got no time to work on the business. And if you're going to be entrepreneurial, you have to spend time working on the business. Well, what I'd done effectively is I had replaced myself. And what I mean by that is I went into the marketing department and they were like, yeah, we've got it. Nothing to do. Went into the sales department. They were like, yeah, got it. I went into each individual department and they went, yeah, we got it. We don't need you here. Everything's under control. Go home. And I went home and I was like, what the hell am I going to do? So I switched on the switch and I was playing on the switch. I'm like, this doesn't feel right sitting here in the middle of the day. I have to keep busy. You know, I don't like just sitting around doing nothing. I was like, this is just ridiculous. And I'd been creating magic ever since I was gone. It's not like I'd stopped creating magic, and I had files and files and files of stuff. And I just started looking through the files and starting creating. And then I had a phone call from Russ Brown saying, would you like to do the Bear Pit at Blackpool? And I was like, I haven't been to Blackpool for years. Yeah, okay then. And that was me kind of dipping my toe back into the community, thinking, well, I've got more free time now. And I remember being at Blackpool and thinking, this is really good. And then about a week after Blackpool, Sean Dunn from Penguin Magic contacted me and said, hey, do you want to release some stuff? Penguin would really like to work with you. And I was like, I haven't released anything for years. Yeah, go on then. I'll give it a go. Let's chat. And so I had that conversation. And just as all that was going on, the pandemic hit. And Ryland, as I said, was always into magic, but it just got insane before the pandemic. He was practicing all the time. And as I said, it was frustrating for him that he didn't get a chance to. He wasn't able to even leave the house. So that's when I was like, well, let's do a review show. And it was so well received that it made me want to put more content out. And I realized that at 45 years old, which is where I was when I started Magic TV, now I'm 46, I've done a lot. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've made more mistakes than most. I've made every mistake that you can make. But I failed forward. And what I mean by that is experience is what you win when you lose. And I've lost a lot. So I've got a lot of experience. And I've, you know, I do illusion shows. I do close-up. I do kid shows. I do every type of genre of magic, pickpocketing, everything. And I was like, you know what? There's a lot of people that are getting into magic that don't know how to do things properly. There's a lot of courses out there, but there's a lot of money. And if I could put a YouTube channel together where I'm not really exposing tricks, because there's so many, that's a whole debate for another video. But if I could do a YouTube channel where I'm putting advice out there on how to perform, how to run a show, how to manage your pockets, how to market your business, how to do social media, how to do this, how to do that, how to do the other, I bet you somebody would find value in that. And the whole thing blew up more than I ever thought it would, and it became really popular. And you know as much about marketing as I do. I mean, the channel's doing something like 35,000 hours of watch time a month, which is pretty good for, you know, 35.
Very, very pretty good.
Yeah, when you consider, you know, they only got set up just over a year ago. And off the back of that, I had phone calls from everybody. It's like, hey, Murphys, would you come and work for us? Alakazam, would you come and work for us? D. Christopher, can you come and work for the 1914? Everybody, you know, Andy, would you like to do a masterclass for Vanishing Ink? Well, yes, I think I would. And I've never gone out and sought out anybody. I've just had lots of people come to me, and I think it might be a combination of, it was weird because I went to Magic Live for Penguin. They had me on the booth and they flew me over there. And the same thing happened at Blackpool. And Josh actually pointed this out. Josh J pointed it out at Blackpool. I was just getting mobbed. Like, I couldn't walk from one side of Blackpool to the other. I couldn't walk from one side of the Magic Live to the other. Like, just people were stopping me and like, hey, can I have your autograph? Can I? And I'm like, why would you want a selfie with me? I'm nobody. I'm just a guy that sits here shouting at a computer screen every day. Like, but I don't know. I still, to this day, don't know why it is. I'm convinced that people realise that I haven't got a clue what I'm talking about at any moment now. I'm confident of it that they realize, but it's off the back of, and I think it's because I put so much content into Magic TV and I don't ask anybody for anything in return, that everyone, the amount of people come up to me and go, oh, thank you for everything you're doing for the community and thank you for this and thank you for that. And I haven't had a plan this last year and a half. It's not like I've planned to sit here on the Vanishing Ink podcast, which is a big deal. I know I joked at the beginning, but it is a big deal. Filming a masterclass, which is a big deal. I've been a member of the masterclass program on Vanishing Ink since day one. And I have a bucket list, and right there on the bucket list is do a masterclass with Vanishing Ink. And I've never had a plan of how to do that. Everything has just been winging it. I've just had one opportunity after another opportunity after another opportunity, and it's led to something else and something else and something else. And it kind of, the catalyst of all of it really was just doing the YouTube channel. But I don't do the YouTube channel to go, right, okay, so now this company's going to work with me. This company's going to work with me. I don't reach out to any of them. I'm just putting these, I have ideas for videos. I'm like, oh, people might want to see that.
Do you think it's anything to do with how much you over deliver? Because you put an awful lot of stuff out on YouTube. Your tutorial videos for the products you release are in depth. and then on the forums, everybody that mentions a product, you're there. And you're like, blah, blah, blah. And even the trolls, you'll engage with the really obvious trolls. And you'll still go, well, yeah, you can have that opinion if you want, but I've been working this and this is what I think. And every stage of what you do professionally now is giving more than probably you're being paid for and more than people expect. Was that a deliberate decision? Over-delivery?
And that came from reviewing products. Because unfortunately, not everybody is a Murph, is a Vanishing Ink or a Penguin Magic. And what I mean by that is, having reviewed products with Ryland now for so long, I can't tell you the amount of tricks that I review where it's a 4-minute tutorial on an unlisted video on YouTube and no live performances, none this, no that, nothing. And I just hate it. I hate it. And it gets really frustrating because you see this really good idea and it's just completely lacking. And it feels a lot of the time like people release something and it's just half-assed. It's like, you know what? I've had this brain fart. I'm going to put it out because I want to be famous. And I think that happens an awful lot with new people that come into Magic. I think they see the Josh Jays, the Andy Gladwins, the Greg Wilsons, the Jay Sankeys. They see these people being held on pedestals. And I think they want that. And I think that they think, oh, I can be a creator without actually putting the time or the effort in, you know, without actually, like, you know, there's a lot to learn. The amount of people I meet at conventions and like, oh, I've created something. Well, no, you haven't. That was like published by this guy 5 years ago. No, I've made that mistake, but they haven't even looked, you know, they've just literally gone, you know, and I wanted to put, A, I didn't want to get burnt again. You brought up Red. Red was horrible. I royally buggered up with that. And it was one of the reasons that I left the community. And I had so much comeback on that. And I think part of the reason was I was the guy in the Wizard Product Review that was sitting there going, so when I made the same mistake, people were like, ha ha, right, got ya. And it was partially, I don't want to make that mistake again. I spend hours reading through the Conjurer's Archive, reaching out to people, showing them that anything that I'm working on, because I don't want to make that mistake again. There's that aspect of it. And if anything does happen, it's immediately dealt with. So I bought something out through Alakazam about 3 months ago, and there was 25 routines or something. And there was one routine that was similar to somebody else's, and he reached out to me, and I was like, great, okay, we're going to pull it off the project immediately. Done. Nobody will know there's still 24 tricks. It's fine. Because I wanted that. So A, it was about doing it the right way. But B, I don't see, you know as well as me in the industry, when I first got into magic, it was L&L. It was multi-DVDs. It was like you got an L&L 3-DVD set and it was amazing. I would spend days watching the performances, learning the tricks. And then what's happened is coming back to the industry, and you got to remember, while I was away, I didn't really buy much. So I came back to the industry and the whole thing had changed in the last 7 or 8 years. And now it's all single tricks with lack of substance completely. There's very little substance. Not everybody. You know, Vanishing Ink and one of the companies that I believe are doing it right for the most part. But a lot of creators out there, there's a complete lack of substance. And I get why. I get that piracy is rife. And I get that having a physical product is better than not having a physical product, because then it's more difficult to pirate. I get that. I totally get that. But I think people are using it as an excuse, and they're bringing out these physical products and they're just going, yeah, this is the idea, it's done. That it's so easy to now pitch an idea to a company. You know, Vanishing Ink will openly say, send us your video. So will Penguin. If you send a video around to every company, somebody is going to say yes. It's so easy to have an idea and without trial and error, without working it in, like getting it out there, either self-published or through somebody else. And I wanted people to know that anything I've put my name to is worked in 100%. It's why the Quantum deck was 5 hours long. It's because I wanted people to know this isn't just a trick. There's 12 routines with this, because you can't half-ass something and come up with multiple routines for it. It ain't going to happen. It's why all of my projects have got live performances. I did this thing called Trivia recently with Alakazam, and we had no live performance, and Pete was about to launch it, and I said, Pete, no, I'm going to a wedding tomorrow. I'm taking a camera with me. I'm getting you a live performance. I don't want any trick that's got my name on it going out without live performances. Even the masterclass, where you don't expect live performances, I turned around to George on the day of filming, and I was like, right, okay, I'd like to film a live performance to somebody, Matt in my office or something. I want to film a live performance and I'll send you those videos and you can incorporate those into the masterclass. I want people to see this live, not just to camera. And I think that's so important. I think it's so important because it's so easy. I know that there's creators out there. I know there are. I've seen it. I've challenged them in person on this. They release a trick and they don't even know how to perform it. They don't even know how to perform it. And you go up to a creator at Blackpool and you go, can you show me that trick? No. Well, why not? Here's a deck of cards. Show it me. And they're just releasing stuff. And without a live performance, it's just somebody to camera saying, trust me, this is how it's meant to look. Well, how am I supposed to know that? So, nobody would have, if I didn't have live performances on my masterclass, nobody would have said, well, this needed live performances, because you don't have live performances on a masterclass, or very rarely. But I wanted to be, I think there's 25 tricks on my masterclass or something, and I wanted live performances because I wanted to over-deliver, and I want to put as much content out there so that people can see it's being worked in live in a real environment in multiple different ways. You can see the live performances. You can see all the different routines. This has been well thought out. This is not a brain fart. Now, you might not like the trick. That's your opinion, and that's fine. Not everybody can like everything. There's tricks I've liked that other people have hated. There's tricks that other people have hated that I've liked. That's cool. However, I want you to at least know that I've put my heart and soul into it and I've done everything that I can to get it to a point where I feel like I've given you value for whatever you've paid for that trick.
Yeah. And that shines through with everything. Let's say